This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you today on this Valentine's Day. We always enjoy spending this time with you, and we invite you to call us. So I like to give you the numbers right at the beginning of our time together. If you would like to join us toll-free right here in North America, the number for you to use is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. 3986. Always recommend that you call early so we're certain to be able to get you on the air. Sometimes the calls stack up at the end of the program and we can't get to everybody, and I certainly don't want that to happen to you. So call early, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also like to let you know that we're available for you right out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And I'm giving all of you that are out there right now a little wave, smiling at you, and you see another person waving too. We're going to tell everybody who he is, but some of you know already. Today is Valentine's Day, and what a better way to spend Valentine's Day than with somebody you love. So I have invited my husband, Jack Williams, to be with us in studio this morning. Good morning to you, dear.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm dandy. How about you?
You know what? If I were any better, I'd be jealous of myself.
I don't know what to tell you, friends. The man makes me laugh. I think I have laughed more in the last, I don't know, however long we've been a couple, you know, before marriage and then after marriage. I don't think I've, all of my laughter in the past has not equaled up to how much I've laughed in these months. It's very good for you. My blood pressure is much lower as a result of it all. So it's very, very good. So there's a solution to blood pressure problems. Laugh a lot. And marry somebody you love. It all works together for the good. So we're going to be talking a little bit about all of those kinds of things as we move through our program together. But we certainly do want you to be with us out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there to send to us your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement. All of that kind of good stuff is there. Jeff Burson, who is our producer and social media manager, will get all of that info up here. Ryan Penny is on the phones for us today. Be sure to wish Ryan Penny a happy Valentine's Day. That would be a very nice thing to do. You know, Jack, as I was looking at the calendar for Women of Grace, there's a lot of things coming up, and I'm really excited about this coming weekend and Monday because I'm going to be in Fargo, North Dakota. I am going to be there for Real Presence Radio, and all of the information for you friends is out there at yourcatholicradiostation.com. It's going to be a beautiful banquet. We're going to come together with lots of people who are our listeners and our supporters, especially through Real Presence and keeping those marvelous radio programs on the air, really doing a great job they are.
They are. It's one of our most successful affiliate groups. I mean, they've gone just in the last couple of years, I hesitate to say where they're at, but they went from one or two stations to, you know, certainly in double digits. I don't know. They may be approaching 20 or over 20 stations now. So they've really done a great work up there. Great people in the upper Midwest. They don't come any better. And it's going to be cold. And
it's going to be cold.
I was supposed to go with you, but I have a prior engagement that's going to keep me from doing so. So
right.
You'll have to take your big coat and make do.
Yes, indeed. You know, I've been in Florida for so many years that even the chill here in Birmingham is tough for me to acclimate to. But we'll do fine up there, and it's going to just be beautiful. And, you know, it gives us an opportunity, you know, to talk a little bit about the affiliates. And you talk about Real Presence Radio, that they're adding stations all of the time, and we've got numbers of them that are like that, Guadalupe Radio Network being another, Covenant being another. And I'd love for you to share with everybody just a little bit about how all of that works with EWTN, and if there's anyone out there listening that would be interested in spreading the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they can do that through Catholic Radio.
Well, Mother Angelica, you know, we provide programming. We don't own any radio stations. That surprises some people when they find out that their local station's not owned by EWTN, but we don't own any radio stations. We just provide programming, and we provide support for people who are operating these radio stations, because if you look at the 350 stations across the country that are carrying EWTN radio programming, started with just one. Six by the end of that first year when Mother Angelica in 1997 made the plea to anybody who could procure or had a radio station, she would provide the programming free of charge for her has blossomed into this 350-plus station network. And these people, by and large, almost exclusively, are people that just felt the Lord tugging at their heart, and they have no radio experience. A lot of them have no business experience. So it's been a great adventure. But, you know, we always say God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And these people have stepped out in a leap of faith, and they've made that happen. So please be supportive of your local EWTN radio station if you hear it, because they don't get any money from us. They get programming free of charge for us. They get all the support that we can provide them, technical and otherwise, to make them successful. But they've got to make a go of it on the donations that they receive in their local markets. So it's very important that everybody support their local Catholic radio stations. And if you don't have a local station in your area, you can just send me an email, jwilliams@ewtn.com, and we can talk to you a little bit about how perhaps our Lord may be calling you to help start a movement that might lead one day to having a radio station for yourself in your area.
Yeah, it's absolutely important that we support those affiliates, and we show them a lot of love when we do that. But ultimately, the broadcasting of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ through the airwaves is something that has touched the hearts and lives of so many millions of people. We cannot even begin to imagine how many souls have been saved, how many lives have been changed, how many hearts have been healed as a result of it. And you have the privilege of hearing those kinds of testimonies right through the broadcasting that we all provide for you. You know, on our program, often we hear those kinds of stories, and I know all of the other programs get those kinds of stories told on the air during their time on the air, as well as receiving those kinds of confirmations via email. You can email us at womenofgrace@ewtn.com with any of your questions, your comments, your insights, inspirations. We often use those to do a mailbag day, and we've got one coming up next week for you. Actually, I believe it is on Monday, and it's going to be a beautiful program. It really was a beautiful program. So I invite you to always make certain that you are tucking your affiliates right in there after your donation to EWTN, between the electric bill and the gas bill, as Mother Angelica used to say. So, Jack, you always recommend one thing to those who are anticipating perhaps this call as a means of discernment. And in addition to that, you always recommend this for your affiliates. And it all has to do with this beautiful opportunity to come before the presence of the Lord, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not an original idea that I've come up with by any stretch of the imagination. It's just a matter of listening to these people. And the groups that have been the most successful over the years in this venture, they all tell an almost identical story. You know, everybody was excited. There was a lot of energy around the project. And then at some point, they just kind of hit a wall that they couldn't get past. And every single one of them will tell you that things turned around for them when somebody in the group started keeping a holy hour.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a good spiritual practice for us to do all of the time anyway, friends. And, you know, sitting before the love of the Lord fills us with His love. And then we become instruments, purveyors of that love in our daily lives and in the situations and circumstances we face, most importantly with those people that God entrusts to us. So if you haven't started a daily holy hour, let me recommend that you do. If you can't do a daily holy hour, how about a holy hour at least once a week? An excellent spiritual practice. You hear that music? We're going to be right back with you right here on Women of Grace Live, 833-288-EWTN. That's the way you can join us. Stay with us for more with Jack Williams. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Janet Williams. Happy to be with you today. And I am delighted to be joined by my husband right here in the studios of EWTN as we have holy conversation with you on this Valentine's Day. You can give us a buzzeroo. You certainly can. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3988. 6. That's the way you can join us. We're also there for you out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and we invite you to use the chat feature to get your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement up to us right here. And, you know, Jack, we were sharing prior to the break that, you know, God wants for us to be purveyors of His love in the world. And as we look at today, this is a day that we always commemorate to being the presence of love in the world. We always put this into the romantic aspect of things, which is a good thing to do. But most importantly, all of that, if it's true romance, has to do with a relationship with our Lord, doesn't it?
There's no question about it. And I think that that's really been the calling card of our relationship. You know, we obviously feel that the Lord has brought us together. You know, we went through a very intense discernment process leading up to our engagement and then eventually our wedding. But, you know, if you're looking for the definition of love, sacred scripture gives it to us in very simple terms when it tells us that God is love.
Mm-hmm.
So apart from Him, there really is no authentic love.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that really strengthened our relationship from the very beginning was the fact that our Lord orchestrated this in such a way that we spent months sort of cultivating our relationship from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easier for us, I think, to keep our eyes on what the center of the relationship was, because we didn't have a lot of the distractions that go along with being in physical proximity
mm-hmm.
to one another. And so it allowed us to focus on the more spiritual aspects of what he's doing. You know, you've shared many times that you know, very early on in our relationship, you know, we would pray together, and our prayer time was extremely intense and extremely intimate, and it gave you pause.
Yes.
To a certain extent, you wondered if this was, you know, really, you know, it was a deeper experience than either one of us had really experienced before, and we weren't quite sure how to deal with that. And I think we've learned, you know, since we've been together, since we've been married, you know, and since the wedding in May of last year, you know, life has happened to us in a very intense way, and distractions go along with some of the things that we've been faced with.
Mm-hmm.
That we've had to deal with. And I think that you'll agree that while every day is Valentine's Day with you, Johnette,
you're so sweet.
Some of the more challenging times that we have faced, not that they've been terribly challenging, but the most challenging times that we have faced have been during times when we have allowed those distractions to circumvent a certain amount of our focus on the one who is love.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to comment on a couple of things that you said there, because I think it's important to talk about it. And you sort of mentioned a couple of things, you know, when you were talking about affiliates and if God's calling you to start, you know, a station, and the best thing to do is to sit with Him before the Blessed Sacrament, and everybody eventually hits a wall. And when you were sharing that, I thought to myself, well, you know, that's one of the proofs that you have that it is a call from God, because you're going to experience a whole lot of backlash from the one who doesn't want you to move forward in a mission that God's entrusted to you. And so in our relationship, and very candidly, you know, after our wedding, we have been barraged. You know, we have been barraged the entire time that we have been married with not small situations and small circumstances. My father was ill when we were getting married. He couldn't even attend the wedding. He was in hospital. We didn't have our honeymoon because it was necessary to be present. We didn't know how this was going to go. And then he passed away. And then a month after that, my brother-in-law passed away. We were faced with some very unexpected situations that we're still working through and working with, in addition to those two situations. And so I look at that in the positive light that this gift that we are to each other, this call of our marriage, indeed has something in it that God wants to work through it and work through us as a couple. And I take it as a positive sign that even though we're facing these big trials, we're facing them together. And I think that it is a sign of you know, God's abiding presence with us.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, he told us what it would be like if we chose to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten some very concrete illustrations of just how true that can be. But, you know, with every cross, there's joy.
Yes.
And we've certainly experienced that too. Mm-hmm. A great extent as well.
Well, it's one of the things that I think surprises me, you know, and it was a lesson that I learned when my late husband passed, was that joy and sorrow can coexist in the heart at the same time. And that's the way that it's been for us. You know, the joy never, ever has evaporated. And we've been able, I think, to weather the storms that have come our way simply because of our faith and trust in God. And these are the kinds of things that could put a marriage into jeopardy and into peril. But when we are, you know, convicted, and when we are moving forward on the one who is the rock, we do have stability. So I don't know what your situation is out there, friends, you know, and maybe you're going through a peril. Maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe situations in your own marriage or your own relationship are at a you know, rocky point. But the good news is that Jesus is there and that joy isn't taken from us. And in some mysterious way that is known only to the one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the sorrow can be, if you will, sort of the impetus for a deeper joy, a deeper union, a deeper bonding of hearts. And yeah, we're here for you. Let's hear what's going on with you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We do have Lisa. Lisa's with us from Indianapolis, Indiana this morning. Catholic Radio Indy is the way she is with us. Good morning to you, Lisa. How are you, honey?
Good morning, Jeanette.
Good morning.
And, yeah, I'm very happy for the two of you. You are very, you're an inspiration to me. And I was really pleased when I heard you all got married.
Oh, well, thank you. We were really pleased about it, too.
I can tell. I just wanted to, and I think other people are that I've talked to are in a similar situation. Been married for 20 years this year, and my husband is a wonderful man, very good man. However, he's not Catholic, and he doesn't really have much of a faith life and doesn't appear to be interested in doing so. And I don't, you know, I don't nag him about it or anything like that, but I just keep trying to, you know, I go to Mass, and I pray for this and everything, but there's a point sometimes where I think, man, the closer I want to get to Christ and the more I want to increase my faith, it's like it takes me farther from Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like a division between us. And I struggle with that. And it's kind of, I see it kind of as a cross I'm carrying within this marriage. And I hate to say it, but if I had to do this over again, I wouldn't marry someone that was of a different faith, because you're really, it's very hard, harder than you think it would be.
Yeah.
So, but I want to, you know, obviously I want to stick it out, but, and I probably don't pray about it enough, you know, that he's, and not even necessarily becoming Catholic, is just having more of a faith life and wanting that, you know, and hope, you know, and wanting that enough to help bring us together. So that's kind of what I'm struggling with.
Yeah. Well, Jack, can you speak to Lisa?
Well, you know, we both have some experience with this because, you know, when my late wife Susie and I were married, I was not Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You and Anthony were both Catholic when you were married, but not really practicing your faith. And when you kind of got on the train and got back going with your faith, Anthony was not necessarily running alongside to jump on the train with you.
No, he was not. Absolutely
and,
not.
And, you know, I made things difficult, Lisa, for Susie, and Anthony made things even more difficult for Jeanette in some of those moments. And, you know, the big things that I think you can do, you know, not nagging is a tremendous strategy. There's no question about that. But what I would do is, you know, the knowledge of God is written on the heart of every human, sacred scripture tells us. And you need to play on that reality. And when you see the things, you talk about your husband as a wonderful man, and he's a good husband, he's just not very spiritual. You know, he may be more spiritual than you realize he is. And when he naturally, because the knowledge of God is written on his heart, behaves in ways that line up with sacred scripture and with the gospel message, you need to acknowledge that. And in small ways, you need to say, you know, I am so grateful that I have a husband who does this, that, or the other thing. And you don't reference that as being a spiritual thing or as being a scriptural process, but just acknowledge the things that he does that any good Catholic husband would do. And that will make an impression on him. I'll promise you that it'll make an impression on him. And pray for him, not only for him, but pray that our Lord would bring a man into his life by whatever means our Lord sees fit that can speak a word, as Isaiah tells us, that might rouse him. And, you know, sometimes, listen, I have spent the overwhelming majority of my life with other dudes, and I'm telling you, sometimes dudes need to be hit over the head with a hammer. That's the only way we respond to things. Yep. So a good prayer for you would be for our Lord to bring another man into his life that somewhere down the road might be able to help him give his head a shake.
Yeah, you know, that's excellent advice, Jack. I'm so happy that you shared that. And, you know, I think I was listening to what my husband was saying, Lisa, and I was thinking back to those very trying years when I was all involved with the faith and Anthony was not. And at first he thought it was just a fine idea and it was dandy because it was making me happy. And then it became annoying, and it moved from annoying to irritating, and from irritating to downright miserable. And, so we went through a very difficult time in our relationship as a result of the faith, but I was doing everything wrong. And that's what Jack is advising you not to do. I was nagging, not necessarily through my mouth, but I was nagging in everything else that I was doing. I was nagging by leaving little pamphlets in places that I knew he would frequent and pick up, like the bathroom. You know, I was leaving all kinds of little things that way, and I was always running off to church, and I was running off to prayer meeting, and I was involved in 900 activities. And when it push came to shove, and my husband actually said to me, I don't know if we can stay married anymore. It got to that point. He confided to me and he said, you see, Johnette, I just cannot compete with Jesus Christ. And there was only one person who made him feel that he was in competition with our Lord, and that was me. So I had done it all wrong. And I cried out to the Lord in that moment, and I said to him, Father God, I know you did not bring me back to the faith for my marriage to dissolve. So what am I to do? And, you know, through the grace of God, he began to show me, and he began to show me in ways that were so obvious. All it required was a yes from me to follow through. And Jack mentioned some of them, to just affirm my husband when he was doing something that was commendable, you know, not in a platitudinous kind of a way, but in a sincere way, at which caused me to look at my husband differently. It caused me to begin to look at him as someone who, you know, was living out virtue. So I looked for those virtuous qualities, and the Lord just asked me to do little things, like if he was out and he was, you know, clipping the hedges, you know, take him a drink of water. And sometimes he would reject those offerings, you know, because he was in a state with regard to me, but it didn't matter. I just kept persevering, and offering my suffering for his conversion. And that's a key here. You mentioned, you know, this is so hard and that you suffer with this. Let me recommend that become your prayer. You know, what was Jesus' prayer on the cross? I mean, he was on the cross, and what was he giving his Father for our sake? He was giving his Father his suffering. And that is absolute intercessory prayer. That is par excellence. That is the Christ-like way to pray. Take all of that pain, all of that travail, all of that disappointment, all of that frustration, and give it to the Father and say, Father God, through the merits of the cross of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and in union with him, I offer you this disappointment, this pain in my heart, my sadness here, my frustration here. And my goodness, that is very, very powerful. So you see what the Lord does with that, Lisa. And see, the other thing that happens is you begin to feel freed up interiorly too. And that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. Well, thank you so much. It's very helpful. I appreciate it. And happy Valentine's to both of you.
Well, and to you too. And thanks for your call, Lisa.
Thank you.
And we invite you to call us too, friends, right here on Women of Grace Live, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way you can join us. Available for you out there on EWTN's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We are inviting you indeed to put your question, comment, in, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement right there in the chat feature, and we're going to get it here. You know, Jack, Lisa is not alone.
No, she's not. There are a lot of people that are in her situation. Mm-hmm. You and I talked about this. You know, we knew that we really felt like our Lord had a work in mind when he brought us together, mm-hmm. and we knew that this would be very hopeful and inspiring to some people, mm-hmm. and it might bring despair upon some other people depending upon their situations. And you know, I would tell you that I remember when our children were growing up and we were active in the parish community.
This is you and Susie now
in Des Moines, Iowa, Susie and I, and it would always touch me, not in necessarily a good way, when we would walk into Mass as a family, as we did every weekend, and you see the same moms with their children who you knew they were married, you knew their husband, you knew the father of the children, you saw him at games, you saw him everywhere else, but you never saw him at Mass on Sunday. And to walk up that aisle or down that aisle to get to your pew and to just look at some of the unknowing glances that you would receive from these women that were just lamenting at the sight of your family the fact that their husband was not participating.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a little word for some of those men when we get back.
I'm sure that you are. And friends, you are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Janet Williams here with my husband today, Jack Williams, on this Valentine's Day, inviting you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here. We've got some announcements for you on the other side of the break, as well as more holy conversation right here on EWTN Radio. Asking you to stay with us. We're going to be right back with you on the other side of the break. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Janet Williams. Very happy to be with you on this Valentine's Day. I'm wishing you a happy Valentine's Day. May you know true joy and may you know true love. And I'm sitting here with the love of my life, Jack Williams, my husband. We're talking about Valentine's Day. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about some of the trials that you face. We're talking about the situations that can arise when individuals get married and they're not of the same faith. We're inviting you to call. We've got one line open right now and would like to fill it with you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're with you too out there in social media land, waving to you, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. There's a chat feature there, and you can get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up here too. Before we get back to all of this, Jack, and I'm so eager to get to all of these wonderful people that are holding and waiting for us, I want to let you all know that following the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes this year, Jack and I made a big decision, and the big decision was we're going to go to Lourdes. We have a special intention to take to Lourdes, and we're going to be going to Lisieux. We're going to be going to Paris, and we want you to come. We know it's short notice, but oh well, you know, it's sort of like a come as you are party, right? So we invite you to join us on this beautiful pilgrimage that we are going to be taking to Lourdes, to Paris, and to Lisieux. We're leaving April the 12th. We're going through 206 tours. That's the company that we used a couple of years ago when we went on pilgrimage for the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima. Lots of you joined us. We want you to come again if you can. Spread the word to your friends. Come if you haven't been there before. Come if you've been there before. It's going to be beautiful. I cannot wait to get to Lisieux, Jack. I just can't. You know, I love St. Therese so much, and just to I'll be that close to her in the town in which she grew up and
one
seeing her.
One of our granddaughters
birthday.
Is named for her.
Yes, Elizabeth Therese. Yeah, and we're very, very excited about it. And all of the information is available for you out there at womenofgrace.com. That's womenofgrace.com. It's listed underneath our events right there on the homepage. We're going to have more on the homepage for you coming up. But if you click on that, it's going to take you to a landing page, and you can actually click directly from there, and it'll take you over to 206 Tours, and you can make your arrangements. So please come with us. It's going to be wonderful. It's, what is it? It's an 8-day tour. Yep, we're going to come back. I think it's on the 19th, right before Easter. So it's going to be grand. It's going to be grand. Are you excited?
I am very excited.
I am too. I can't wait. We're kind of calling. I'm shared with you earlier, you know, that some of the situations that we faced right after our marriage kind of precluded our honeymoon, so we didn't get one. So we're looking at this as like a honeymoon.
You can come on our honeymoon with us.
How much fun will that be? It'll be a great deal of fun and also a very moving and, I can say, transforming experience. So consider that. Well, we're going to get to the phone lines, and I want to get out here to social media too, because we have Deanne with us out there on YouTube, and she says, great advice from Jack. I'm that wife that goes alone with children. So what word do you say to Deanne? She knows that pain of being the one raising her children in the faith, but also not having her spouse at her side.
Yeah, she does, and it's difficult. And I just want to speak a word to those of you men who and ladies, if you want to play the encore, which will air at 9 p.m. Eastern time. No,
mm-mm.
10 p.m. Eastern time.
2 in the morning.
This is Women of Grace. We're not on open line, are we?
No, we're not, darling.
This is not open line. See, I don't really like this because I usually sit in your chair when I'm doing open line.
I know.
And now I have Jeff Burson behind me, and I've got my back to him, and it makes me nervous.
We come before you, so I kind of warm the seat for you, so it's all ready to go when you get here.
Well, there you go. But at any rate, 2 a.m., uh-huh. the show encores, Eastern time. But if you think it doesn't matter, gentlemen, let me tell you that it does, because I see the looks in your wives' eyes when I go to Mass that you don't see because you're not there, and it wounds them. It really and truly does, and you really could not give a greater gift to your family than to be present to them at least that 1 hour a week to go to Mass. And statistics, study after study after study, have shown that when the father is spiritually active in the household, overwhelming 70%, 80% of the time, the children will carry that faith forward into adulthood. Far more telling than even if the mother is involved.
That's right.
So it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. So don't think that it doesn't. And step up to the plate, fellas, and be the spiritual head of your household. And do what you ought to do.
Yeah, and you know what? I just want to say this, too. It's one of the charisms of the masculine, you know, this charism of leadership. And I think that the statistics prove that. When the dad is absent, the leadership is absent. They look at mom, yes, and they admire mom. But it's the leadership of the father that says, this is the way to go. And it speaks a word to them, you know, unconsciously. It speaks to their soul. So, dads, good advice there. And let me say this about that. You know, I went back to the faith. I started to go to Mass before I came back through the charismatic renewal. I started to go to Mass only because I remembered the vow that I made at our wedding, which said that we would raise the children Catholic, and my husband was not interested in doing that. So I went just because of duty and obligation. Absolutely no sentiment of heart and no desire, but I went of duty and obligation. And I would say to you, gentlemen, if you start just because it's your duty and it's your responsibility to do it, you know, something more might happen for you. I'm just saying. So, yeah, Jack, thank
you
for that.
You can walk into a room full of enriched uranium and walk out of the room and not feel any different, but I promise you something has happened.
That's right.
The same thing is true with our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. You can be in his presence just by going to Mass, and you may not feel any different when you leave, but I promise you, something has happened.
Yeah. All right. So belly up to the bar, guys, and be the man that God's called you to be. Let's go to Jody. She's out there in Boise, Idaho this morning. Salt and Light Radio is the way that she is with us. Good morning, Jody. How are you, honey?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I wanted to share with you, I was listening to you talk about your experience with your wedding and your father ending up in the hospital, and it reminded me of my own wedding. I had a similar situation where my husband and I were just dealing with a lot of challenges the week before our wedding. illnesses and lots of other things. And my uncle, who had come out from Ohio for our wedding, ended up in the hospital the day before with a flesh-eating virus in his finger.
Oh, dear me.
And had to miss our wedding. And, yeah, it was heartbreaking for us. And he ended up having to stay here for a week after the wedding because he was in the hospital and had to have surgery on his finger and lost the tip of his finger through the whole process. And we just, you know, I just really felt attacked during that week. And I knew that it was, we were both very strong in our faith, and I can tell that you both are as well. And, you know, we know that the devil doesn't like that when two people that are strong in their faith come together, because they're going to be even more stronger and be a witness and example to other people. And we knew that, we could feel that as the week was going on. But I tell you, when we walked into the church, everything was completely different. It was just calm and peace, and you know, it was wonderful. And then we'll be married for 15 years here in May.
Congratulations
to
you.
Thank you. I wanted to offer encouragement to you guys to, you know, hang in there. I know it's we've had many challenges. We had three miscarriages and two failed adoptions. We were blessed with one biological child.
Wonderful.
And we both dealt with cancer diagnoses and, you know, numerous challenges over the 15 years. But we've survived, and I believe we're stronger for it. And I think we're a witness to others that are going through similar situations. So I just wanted to share that with you and offer you encouragement in those listening as well.
Well, Jody, thank you so very, very much. And, you know, I think that the gift of faith is so great, because when travail comes upon us, we have the capacity to see it with the eyes of God. And we don't see it as a negative. We see in it a treasure of grace that's awaiting us. And we see it as a participation in the redemptive grace of Christ that needs to be let out at this moment in time. And let out, I'm thinking of the blood of our Lord being let out of his body. And in a certain way, we participate in that letting of blood. Paul, Colossians 1:24, for I make up in my own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. And so you can even find yourself praising and thanking God for the travail, because it is efficacious. It's efficacious for others when we offer it in union with the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's efficacious for us too. And it is one of those ways in which we can bond, you know, more closely together. And it's sad when people don't see these spiritual truths, which is one of the reasons why we're evangelists, right? And all of us are called to be in the way in which God entrusts to us. And you and your husband certainly are about that business, Jody. Thank you so very, very much.
And thank you for taking the opportunity to share that witness, because you've not only encouraged us, but you have no idea how many other listeners you've encouraged in the process.
Absolutely. So God bless you, Jody, and happy Valentine's Day to you and your hubby and to your child. And we continue to pray that God rains down tremendous blessings upon you as you move forward in your married life together. We pray for that for all of you today on this beautiful day. And let's go back to YouTube again. We've got Dave. He says, I have the opposite problem where my wife is not Catholic. We do go to Sunday Mass as a family, but going deeper in the faith is difficult with job schedules and disbelief on her part.
You just have to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we you know, that was one of my, you know, I had a unique situation with Susie, because she essentially, you know, led me into the Catholic faith. You know, I had an evangelical background, and she led me into the faith, and then in many ways, you know, I embraced things, and I sort of kind of zoomed past her a little bit in a lot of ways.
You went deeper.
Yeah, and so my regret is, and certainly, you know, her dying of cancer was not part of the plan on any level, and that is, you know, one of my regrets is that I didn't just make it happen, you know, that I didn't, you know, I don't want to say you know, nag or anything like that, but I should have led a little stronger and you know, taken her by the hand and brought her with me. And I would encourage, you know, Dave to do that, you know, in those moments when he has an opportunity to just take a step back, take a deep breath. you know, maybe there's some of this busyness, you need to maybe evaluate whether all of that busyness needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that busyness just needs to be an opportunity for you to just focus your attention on her.
Mm-hmm.
And show her, you know, that you sincerely are concerned first and foremost with her well-being.
Yeah, you know, there's something about that too, Jack, what you're saying here that is so very important. And I think that security has to be established, right? And the woman needs to be secure in the fact that her husband cherishes her. And a husband needs to be sure that the wife respects him and sees him as he is. And oftentimes, that was the situation with Anthony and I. He wasn't secure in the relationship once I began to embrace the faith again. I made him insecure. The same advice I think Dave applies to you that applied to Lisa earlier, and that is, you know, cherish your wife and show her that you cherish her. Show her that she means everything to you. Make sure that she knows that there is safety in your arms, and make sure that she senses, you know, your concern for her above all else, no matter what that schedule is like. And listen, we've all got them. There's no question about that. But carve out a time. And this is something that Jack and I recently made a decision to do. And do you mind if I share it?
Not at all.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things
started
that
last night, as a matter of
it
fact.
It did. It's so beautiful. You know, the fact of the matter is we had these intentions for how our married life would be, incorporating the faith into it. And then, as I say, and Jack mentioned it first, we were barraged with things, absolutely barraged, which, you know, just kind of, you know, caused our little boat to be rocked a little bit. And so
we got pushed off of our little cloud in the angelic heavens,
you know. It did. We did. So I suggested to Jack, you know, sensing deeply that, okay, so we need to do something about this. You know, I said, Jack, what do you think about this? What if we make Wednesday night a date night, and we begin our date night with a date with Jesus, and we go to adoration together, and then afterwards we go out and we have a bite to eat together, right? And he thought that was great. So we were going to do that last Wednesday night. But what happened? Something happened. Something came up and we couldn't do it. I forget exactly what it was. It doesn't really matter. Oh, I know. You had a WWTN television with Father Mitch.
Oh, that's right. I was on Father Mitch's show. There you go. That was it.
So we couldn't do it. And but then this week came. And so, you know, I asked again, well, what do you think about Wednesday? He said great. And so we did last night. We went to Our Lady of Sorrows Catholic Church, which is a very important place for us in our story of our marriage. And there we go. So just saying that, you know, we've got to step back from some things to make room for that, which is
most important. And interesting, you during the course of the day, were talking to our son, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that was wonderful.
Told him what you were doing, and he's like, well, I'd like to go.
Yeah, yeah. I said, well, what's on for the agenda tonight? I said, well, your dad and I are going to go to make a holy hour, and then we're going to go get a bite to eat. I said, of course, the invitation is open. And he said, well, I'd like to go. I said, oh, that's great. So the three of us trotted off, and we had a lovely evening together, which extended back to after we got back home again. So anyway, just some ideas for you, little things to do. Let's go on out there, and let's go to Mary. She's right up the road from where I sometimes travel now, back to my home in Florida. She's right up the road in Newport Richey, Florida, listening to us via Sirius XM 130. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
And how is the weather there in sunny Florida?
It's a picture-perfect day. It's beautiful, low humidity, blue skies. Couldn't ask for a more perfect day for Valentine's Day.
Well, I'm so happy for you. That's wonderful. So what's going on in your world?
I just wanted to share our story and how wonderful my husband has been. We haven't been together long. We found each other kind of later in life and had, you know, just love at first sight. I mean, it was beautiful, and we've had two beautiful boys together, and we never really went to church all that much. We're both Catholic. We've been raised Catholic and never really went to church all that much until our boys were baptized. Well, our first and then our second, and we kind of made that our regular thing. And, but this past year it's been really trying and hard for whatever reason. The Lord took our youngest from us and brought him home, and that I know it can really rock a marriage to its core, and without our faith and our church, and I don't know how we would have survived. And through it all, my youngest son had an accident. He got out of the house without me noticing on my watch. I'm a stay at home mom, so that's my number one job. And for whatever reason, he got out of the house and I didn't know. And then I found him in a pond and he passed away the next day. And my most precious love husband never blamed me once. Although that was harder for me not to do, but he never once blamed me. And I'm sorry, it's still so kind of new. And,
I know, sweetheart, I know.
And I can't imagine how I would have made it through that without my husband. And in our church has been wonderful. I mean, beyond words, wonderful. And no one has ever blamed me. Although I wish I could say the same, but I'm an optimist as in general. And someone had told us at church, Sue Sparrow, a wonderful lady, said that we would find a purpose. And I believe for me, the silver lining is that it has brought us, it didn't tear us apart, but instead it brought us so much closer than I ever knew possible. I mean, I thought we were really good before, but I had no idea. I thought that my faith was strong, and I thought that I loved the Lord. And by going through this, my little Maxie is what I call him, my little Maxie. Has brought us together so much closer and so much closer to God and Jesus, and in that it's a beautiful thing. And it's so, on Valentine's Day, when I think of how much I love my husband, I also love our Lord. And I know he didn't do this. I know now that it wasn't my fault. Valentine's Day, and I love our Lord too, and I just wanted to share that. So no matter what someone is going through as a couple, and it can be really, really hard to look past what's happened and try to look forward, but you can get through it, and you'll come out better on the other side, I guess. And I don't know.
Well, you know, Mary, that's an absolutely beautiful story that you've shared with us. And, you know, our Lord, you know, certainly wouldn't reach down necessarily and take something from you, but he will allow things to happen. And he may very well, we won't know in this life, but he may very well have allowed that to happen to not only bring you and your husband closer together into a place deeper than you were before, but he may have brought you to that deeper place because that's where you need to be to minister to one of his other children somewhere down the road. You know, this could be an absolutely beautiful situation, and your willingness to embrace it for what it is can open the door to let those things happen.
You know, Mary, my story is not the same as yours, but it has a common denominator, and that is that I lost my son, and I lost him at 25. And my husband and I made a promise that we would never blame each other for his death. Retrospectively, we can all go back and look at things that we would have done differently, and the evil one will try to chain us to that. And I'm so happy that you're not letting that happen. And any time that thoughts or doubts prevail upon you, you call out to Our Lady and say, "Oh Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." Mary, you're going to be in our prayers. I can assure you of that. You are in my rosary. You are in our prayers together as a couple. And here we are to the end of the program, and we didn't get to all of you, and it makes me so sad, and I wish we had more time. But we absolutely don't. You want to do radio tomorrow, Jack?
Maybe we should.
Okay. Call us back tomorrow. We'll continue the program tomorrow. You heard it from my husband, Jack Williams. Bye-bye now. God bless.